The Golden Age of Cowardice. I suppose when my future children, Hamish 8 and D'Artagnan 4, put down their hollow bears long enough to spend some time with their G.O.D., good old dad, and get around to asking me their inevitable and predictable questions like, "Dad, when you were a kid like me, what was it like?" Or, "Dad, was water ever free?" Or, "Dad, what was a polar bear again?" I suppose that I will smile, trying not to belay my weak fondness for nostalgia, pick them up, gently place them on either knee, and say, "Kids, your father had the privilege of living in the greatest time of cowardice this country has ever known." I will then take them to the End Justifies the Means Monument in Washington, D.C., and show them the majesty of the hundreds of thousands of lumps of hard, carbonized charcoal, which represent the lives lost in the Global War on Terror Part II, The Reckoning, copyright, rising sky dome-ward that formed the statue. I will stand with them as they view its majesty and explain, "Kids, a 9/11 registered trademark, America was attacked. After a brief nap, our president eventually addressed his nation and urged the citizens he was sworn to protect to go shopping, which is how we came to have that extra double-wide freezer downstairs. Anyway, as you know, that date, 9/11, became known as the Day America Lost Its Innocence trademark. But kids, some clouds will occasionally have a silver lining, and this cloud had the most glittery one. For although America did lose its innocence, it simultaneously gained its ignorance. And that's no small feat. Can you imagine how difficult it must have been for the world's then only superpower to move decidedly backward in thought and deed in such a time as seriousness and tangible progression was almost inconceivable? It would take a volatile and complex combination of state-induced fear, willful ignorance on a mass scale, an awakening of base intolerance, and a lulling, passive handing over of the basic civil rights this country once prided itself on as what separated us from almost every other nation on Earth, thus increasing 100-fold the power assigned to the very same authorities who didn't do their job of protecting us in the first place. I would explain to young Shanice and Grillith, oh, in the future, you can change your kids' names whenever you want for as long as you live, that for America to gain its ignorance in such a speedy and life-changing way, it would take nothing short of a revolutionary act. Because this country was formed with the specific and then revolutionary concept of religious freedom, as well as the rejection of the kind of secretive, autonomous authority we find ourselves under, accountable to no one but a couple of Saudis and the Federal Reserve. So you can see, dear Autumn and Scooter, why a 140-degree shift was such a surprise. America had been fiercely and proudly fought for. It was a country with ideals so just and right and based in unwavering absolutes of fairness and concern for all human beings regardless of race, sex, creed, or class. But, as you both know, on that fateful day, a revolutionary act was committed by a group of men from Saudi Arabia who hated America for previously well-articulated reasons. Part of the problem, too, was that they believed in a different book than we did. The book they read was very much different from the book we read. Both books are very, very old, and are interpretations of old transcriptions of anecdotes that have been verbally passed through hundreds of generations over the years in languages either dead or foreign to us. For example, it seems strange that, according to one of the multitude of authors of the New Testament, that God would want us to eat cow poo, but it states clearly in Ezekiel 4:15, and I quote, "Lo, I have given thee cow's dung for man's dung, and thou shalt prepare thy bread therewith." So, there you go.